And we're continuing, of course, our study of the feasts and celebrations of the nation of Israel. We're looking at sort of some special times that God's people, the Jewish people, celebrate. They were given by God to set them apart. This morning we're going to see two more celebrations. They're not found in the Bible, but that's what we've been doing. We're looking at the different feasts and the holy days, and some are in the Bible, some aren't. And the two can be beneficial, I think, that we can learn from. But the two are this. One is the Bar Mitzvah. I got them right here, I think. One is the Bar Mitzvah, which means Son of Commandments. Now, there's a thing also called Bat Mitzvah, B-A-T, which is Daughter of Commandments. But most of us think about the Bar Mitzvah, which is the Son of Commandments. It's a celebration. We'll talk more about that. The other one is called the Simchat Torah, and it literally has an idea of rejoicing over the law. We would say rejoicing over the Scripture, over the Bible. So that's the two that we'll look at. And as we think about these two celebrations this morning, let me give you just some questions to raise, okay? Or think about. Number, how do we view the Word of God? Now, if you're connected with Countryside for any length of time, you already know the answer to that. How do we view the Bible? It's God's Word, it's perfect, it's true, and all of that. And so the second, when are we accountable to God's Word? When are you accountable to the Scripture? I'm asking that kind of a funny question, because you say, well, what do you mean? When am I not accountable? We'll talk about it, because we'll see how it ties in. And then, are we teaching our children the Word of God? You know, one of the things that I have to say about our church from the very beginning, we've always emphasized the Scripture, but if you think about our children's ministries, right now, even in the nursery, they are being taught Scripture. And then you go all the way up to all the graded classes are being taught, over at the junior high, middle school, high school being taught. If you went into a college class, the Bible's being taught. If you come on Sunday night and there's Awana, and the Bible's being taught. If you come on Wednesday night and the different things they have there, the Bible is being taught. So one of the things that we say, are we teaching our children the Word of God? One of the things I always love about our church is that's been the emphasis. Now, I just think a lot about Jay when you think about youth, because a lot of times when you talk about youth, people say, oh, you just got to have a lot of activities. You got to have a lot of fun. And it's true. You want some activities, but the emphasis in our youth group is not all the activities. It's the teaching of the Scripture so they can know it and apply it and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So how do we view the Word? When are we accountable to the Word? Are we teaching our children the Word? We'll think about those things as we go through it. Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for each one of us here. Lord, we know so many are out of town for spring break, and we know a lot of the college students are gone, and then families as well. And so, Lord, we miss them all. We pray for safety, that they'll have a safe trip. Wherever they're going, they'll have a great time and a safe trip back, and we'll all be back together again. Lord, we thank you for our class this morning, that each one could be here. And even though we all lost an hour of sleep, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and mercy to us and allowing us to live another day. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Just ask you, Lord, that as we study this morning, that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We didn't have it this year, but for 2 years prior to that, we had the Awana Bible quiz at our church, and Kelly sort of ran the whole thing, Kelly Cox, and it was really fantastic, and it's really amazing to watch the kids in there, and then they'll ask a Bible question, and these kids will just get the answer, or they'll say, what about this verse, and they'll just have memorized the verse. It's great to see our kids stand up and do that, and they can quote the Bible and quote that. You know, the Awana key of 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to spring yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of God. I memorized it a long time ago with the King James, the study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. They mean the same. They're just beautiful. It's the idea of study the Scripture so you can accurately handle the Word of God. It's great to see our kids do that. The Bible should be a great joy to us. The Scripture, it's the key. It's probably one of the most important things in our lives, because think about this. How do you know about Jesus? And how do you know about salvation? And how do you know how we're supposed to live? How do you know any of these things? It goes back to the Scripture. I mean, so Scripture is really the foundation for everything. In Psalm 119:11, it says, I have an inheritance. Psalm 119:111 says, I have inherited thy testimonies forever. They are the joy of my heart. He says, I have your words, the testimonies from God, were the Scriptures. And he says, we got them, and they're the joy of my heart. Well, this morning, we're going to continue seeing some of the Jewish celebrations. We've been going through the different feasts of Israel, and we've seen all kinds of different things. We want to think about knowing and applying the Word of God. We want to think about the joy that is connected with it. So we'll see it as we go through. Well, let's begin. As we continue this morning, I want to remind you of the different things that we've seen. We divided the study into a number of groups. We started off by just looking at the weekly feast. What's the weekly feast called? And I'm asking it wrong again. Come on. It's the Sabbath. Yeah, weekly feast, right? You shall work 6 days and rest on the Sabbath. Okay, what's the monthly feast called? Anybody remember? New Moon. And then there in Leviticus 23, there are seven yearly feasts. The first one is on the 14th day of the first month, and that's called what? Anybody know? Passover. And the Passover is followed by one that goes for 7 days, which is the feast of what? Unleavened bread. And then the one that's in that is the feast of first fruits, which is a picture of resurrection. That's right. Then there's one that gets a little bit later on that's 50 days after first fruits. That would be which one? Pentecost. And then there's one on the first day of the seventh month. It's really the Jewish New Year. That's called what? Feast of Trumpets. And then there's one on the 10th day of the seventh month in which they have afflicted their souls. That's called the Day of Atonement. And then there's one about 5 days after that in which they live out in booths and everything, and that's called the Feast of Tabernacles, booths, that kind of thing. So we saw those. And then we've been seeing some that aren't necessarily in Leviticus 23, but things like Purim and the Feast of Hanukkah. And then we've seen the non-yearly ones, like the sabbatical year. You work six years, rest on the seventh. And we saw the year of Jubilee, which was on the 50th year. What special thing happened on the year of Jubilee besides a rest? Got your land. All the land went back to the original owners. Now, there's only one exception to land going back. And where was that? Do you remember? Did it say that? If you lived in the city. If you bought land or sold your land to somebody and it was in the walled city, it wasn't considered farmland, so to speak, you had 1 year to buy it back. If not, it could go permanently to the person who bought it. But everything else, every 50 years, it went back to the original owners. Well, this morning, we're going to look at two special feasts. They both deal with the Word of God. The emphasis, of course, concerning the feast is the love and the obedience to the Word. And the two of them is Bar Mitzvah, and you can put it up here, which means Son of the Commandments. And the Son, this is where he comes under the authority of the Word of God. The other one is called Simchat Torah, which literally means rejoicing over the law. And it's where we realize the joy from reading and knowing God's Word. Now, these are what the Jewish people deal with. It's like I've talked to several of you, so I've never heard of this Simchat. I've heard of Bar Mitzvah because I kind of know what a Bar Mitzvah is. It's supposed to be when a Jewish boy becomes a man, as that's what we always hear people say. But this other one, we don't know. What we're doing is we're going to be looking at these feasts, these special days that the Jewish people celebrate, and then we'll make some application in our own lives. So let's start. Let's start with the very first one, which is the Bar Mitzvah. Now, Bar is an Aramaic word for son, and Mitzvah is commandment. So the Bar Mitzvah is the son of commandments. That's what it's basically saying. So that's what it means. So in the idea with we think of Jewish boys, we think of celebration when they, in the eyes of the community, become a man. And look at this. The boy is no longer considered a child, but now becomes responsible to the Word of God. Now, to be real honest with you today, you know, this, even in the United States and even in Israel, there's a large percentage of Jewish people in Israel are what they would call non-practicing Jewish people. They're secular. They're Jewish in the sense that their race is Jewish or they live in Israel. But if you said to them, do you follow the commandments and the scriptures and all that? Most of them don't. There's a select group that the Hasidim, they look at everything, and sometimes they don't even consider the nation of Israel the real Israel. And then there's the group that's sort of in between that are secular, but at the same time they say, you know, we ought to celebrate some of these things because that's our heritage. And when a son gets 13, we're going to have a bar mitzvah for our son because we're Jewish, and this is what you do. This is what you do. And so let's talk about it, because technically, the Bar Mitzvah was when the son became under the law and he was responsible to obey the scripture. Nowadays, it's just a marking off point in which we say, you're a teenager, you're growing up, you're now more accountable, you're like a man. You're a man now. And that's sort of what they say today. As far as the scripture, we're not going to find this celebration in there, but we'll talk about it. If you go back to the book of Numbers, all men 20 years old and older were responsible to be in the army. This is in the Jewish law, Jewish way. That's why, if you remember when the nation of Israel refused to go in the land, you remember when they sent the 12 spies in? 10 came back and said, we can't go. 2 said, we can go. Joshua and Caleb said, we can go. And then God said, okay, you're so worried about your children, and you're so afraid they were going to get killed. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to wonder that you're all dead, and then I'm going to take your children in. Do you know what he did? 19 years old and under lived. 20 years old and above died in the wilderness. So that idea goes back to this age here in Numbers. If you were 20 and above, we were to fight in the war. And we think of a bar mitzvah, we realize one of the most important events in the life of a Jewish male. In our culture, what's the marking off point? What makes you, when people say, okay, all right, well, you're making it now. What is it? No, it's not. No? It's when you get your what? Driver's license. Now, I can go to the store by myself, right? That's a marking off. And then 18 is a marking off. 21 is a marking off. But in our culture, what do they look forward to? You got your driver's license? Because we all scatter when we find out that some of them got their driver's license. We're saying, let me know when you're out, and I'll stay home. And that way, anyway. So when we think about the celebration, it probably goes back, best we can tell, about the bar mitzvah. It goes back to the 13th century. It's based on what they call the Talmud. The Talmud was interpretation of Jewish scriptures. Now, here's what's weird today. When you say, what do we believe? We go, okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, Romans. We go to the scripture. For a Jewish person, if you said, what do you believe? You would say, let me ask the rabbi, because the rabbi is the teacher. And the rabbi is not necessarily studying, in fact, most likely not studying the scripture. He is studying those who have wrote about the scripture throughout history. And so a rabbi might say, as Maimonides says, or as this great teacher says, or as Gamaliel might say, and so instead of him going and saying, here's scripture and here's what it says, he would say, here's what these great teachers say. And so they don't really study the scripture in this. And we see a lot of people doing the same thing today. I mean, there are people today that if you say, what do you believe? And they'll say, well, the reformers have taught us. I want to go, I don't care what the reformers say. Who are the reformers anyway? Go back to the scripture. Or they'll say, well, Chuck Swindoll says. I love Chuck Swindoll, but what does it matter what Chuck Swindoll says? What matters is, what does the scripture say? And so that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that going back to the 13th century, based on the Talmud, interpretation of Jewish scriptures, that's when we think the bar mitzvah basically started. It takes place really around the age of 13. And nowadays is when they do it. I'm just trying to get, if you're at the top, probably at the top of the second page where there are three parts. It says there are really three parts in this celebration, in the Son of the Commandments. The first one is this. There's what they call the release. The second thing is called the sermon. The third thing is called the meal. Okay? The three things. The release, the sermon, and the meal. And normally at a bar mitzvah, and now, as I said, even today, modern times, there's bat mitzvahs, B-A-T, mitzvah, which is daughter of the commandments. It's when a daughter gets a certain age, and they want to say that she's maturing as well. That, you're not going to find that in 13th century, 14th century, 15th century. You're not going to see that. That's just more of a modern thing. But the three parts, the release, the sermon, the meal. Let's talk about the release. The release is really between the boy and the father. This is where the father in the ceremony comes up and prays, and he actually prays this. He says, blessed is he who releases me from this obligation. And what he's actually saying is, I'm no longer responsible for my son, meaning that my son is now, he's a man, he's responsible for his own actions. It's also the idea of that the sins of the son will fall on the son and not the father. Because, see, if a son did something wrong when he was 10, who's going to get blamed for this? who's the responsibility going to go back to? It's going back to the father. So when the bar mitzvah, he is basically saying, I'm releasing. I am released now from this obligation. And my son is now accountable to Scripture. That's what it's supposed to be. Now, in modern times, it's more of a party. It's more of a big celebration. It's more of when the guy has just said, I'm now a man. He's 13 years old, and he thinks he's a man. And he has some privileges. I'm going to show you what the privileges are in just a minute. But the celebration, what we're talking about, is a little bit different. As years go by, it gets what you and I might call more and more liberal. I'll show you what I mean. The release, the father comes up and says, blessed is he who releases me from this obligation. Then there's the sermon. And in the sermon, what's supposed to happen, the son is to read from the Torah and the prophets. He is to recite the blessings. And the family is supposed to be very proud to hear their son do this publicly. Now, what he's supposed to do is he is supposed to have memorized, in Hebrew, of course, the scripture. He is supposed to read from the Torah, from the first five books. He's supposed to read from the prophet section. He's actually supposed to give a little message. But what it's developed into nowadays is most of the time, if they're able to do it, they'll memorize in Hebrew a particular passage. They will quote that, and they will thank their family, and that's it. It's just, you know, it's gotten where it's just a celebration for the son. Instead of him saying, I'm now accountable to Scripture, I'm going to read some Scripture, I'm going to talk about some Scripture, I'm going to read some Scripture, I'm going to talk about some Scripture. But that doesn't happen. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he'll not depart from that. You know, a lot of people use that verse to say, if you just give people the scripture when they're kids, they'll be okay when they're older. That verse isn't really talking about that. I just wanted to throw that out this morning because a lot of people use it. That verse is saying, train up a child in the Hebrew where it says way they should go, it's natural bent. It means train up people in the way that they're gifted. And when they're older, they won't depart from that. It's really not talking about train people scripturally when they're... Because I've had people say, well, we taught the Bible when they was 10, 11, 12, 13. Now they're off wild. They'll come back because that's what Scripture says. That Scripture's not talking about that. So they may come back, but not because that Scripture. That Scripture says train them up in their natural bent. It's sort of like saying the guy that loves chess, don't make him play football, right? Or the guy that loves football, don't make him play chess. You know, it's the natural bent of what a person is like. I just wanted to throw that one out because that verse is used a lot of times. In the past, the son would teach from the Word of God, take a passage and actually exposit the Word of God. Today, it's usually a time of thanking parents and friends. And the truth is, there's a move away from Scripture. But that's true of everything, isn't it? I mean, you just look and everything moves away from the Scripture. The third thing is the meal. And it's the time of refreshment. Originally, it was a very simple get-together. It was a time of joy. But especially in the United States, it has become a huge party, sometimes costing thousands of dollars. I read some statistics that back in the 1920s, 30s, a normal gift given to a son at bar mitzvah was a pen, a fountain pen. And nowadays, gifts are cars. Sometimes things costing thousands of dollars. It's this big thing for them. Here's your car, or here's this. And one thing I want you to think about, I just want you to think about it for a second. Do we, as Christians, would it be beneficial to have a time like this for our kids? We'll talk about it in just a second. Not necessarily, it wouldn't be a bar mitzvah or anything, but we'll talk about it. There were some privileges when you go through the bar mitzvah and you're now a son of the covenant, so to speak, or a son of the law, or a son who obeys. Four privileges. Number one is you are counted to make up the minyan. Now, the minyan is this. For the Jewish people to have a meeting, like a synagogue meeting, you have to have 10 men. And when you can have 10 men, you can have a synagogue meeting. Well, if you've been through the bar mitzvah, you can count as one of the 10 men. If you hadn't, you can't count. You're just a boy. Do you remember the book of Philippians when Paul went to Philippi and it said that prayer was held down by the river? Do y'all remember that? Or do you? You don't probably remember it anyway. Prayer was down by the river. And he went down there and there were women down there. You know why there were women praying down there? They didn't have 10 men. They didn't have a Jewish meeting, because Paul would always go, when he'd go to a city first, he would go to where the Jewish people met. We'd call it a synagogue. Synagoge means the gathering together. That's what the Hebrew word synagoge means, to gather together. So a synagogue is where they gather. You have to have 10 men to have a synagogue. It has to be counted in what they call the minyan. And if you've been through Bar Mitzvah, you can count as Torah one of the 10. When Paul went to Philippi, there wasn't even 10 Jewish men there to form a synagogue. That's why he went down by the river. Okay, the second thing is phylacteries. Y'all know what those are? Phylacteries were the little boxes. See, he told them, I want you to put the law between your eyes and on your hands and on your doors. And they took it literally. And so they took these little bitty boxes that were about this big. They were usually made out of leather. And they would take some scripture, like maybe Proverbs 22:6 or any scripture they wanted, and they rolled it up and they put it in that little box, and then they tied it, and then they tied the box either, sometimes they tied it on their wrist, and so you had a little box sticking on your wrist, or they tied it on your arm, or they tied it right there. They put a box right there and they tied it around and they walked around with a little box right there, and what they're saying is, I've got God's word on my mind. That's why if you go to a Jewish house, they've got a little. Some of them have a little box outside on the door. That's scripture in that little box. That's saying we've got the Word of God out. You know, the problem is you don't know it. You just got it on your head, you know. But the bottom line is they now can wear a phylactery. They can do that. The third thing is they're able to read the Torah. They could be called on in a service to actually read the scripture. So, now you're a man, so I can go read the scripture if I want to. Great. And then the fourth thing is called the Bet Din, which means you could be part of the Jewish court. When the Jewish people wanted to make some decisions, you got your leaders, you got men together, and it was called the Bet Din, which is the Jewish court. Well, if you're bar mitzvahed, you're able to serve in that court if they need you to. The original purpose of this celebration was the training of young men and the study of the Word of God so they could become a man and a son of the covenants and a son of the commandments. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. So that's the key. Now, with that in mind, I want to raise, and time is up just about, so we're going to get halfway through this one, and we'll get Simfac Torah next week. But I want you to think about this. Here's some questions for us to think about. Number one, are we training our children in the Word of God? Number two, are we stressing the importance of knowing and applying God's Word in our lives and in the lives of our children? And number three, should we have a time of celebrating growth? You know, a lot of times people, I've seen some families do this, that when their children get ready, maybe either middle school or junior high, or they get become a teenager at 13, they may go buy a ring like this, one of the ring with a cross on it, and they give it to their children and say, okay, this is a special time in your life that you're setting apart. You've now become a teenager. You know the scripture. You know Jesus as your Savior. Here's a ring that you wear to remind you of who you are, that you're now, you know, you're growing and maturing, and you have a responsibility to live righteously and godly and make an impact. I've known some families that have done things like that. We gave rings to our girls. I don't know what age it was, but we got both our girls these rings and just said, these rings are for you at this age, just so you can think about who you are. And so think about this for a second. Are we training our children in the Word of God? Whose responsibility is to do it? Parents are. Now, we as a church do it, but we're second. It's the responsibility of the families to train their children. Number two is, are we stressing the importance of knowing and applying God's Word in our lives and the lives of our children? I think our church seeks to do that. We make that an emphasis, but I don't know if that's true everywhere, that as Christians in America, that the Bible is the key and that's what you know. I've talked to people who go to churches and then nobody in the church brings their Bible. They don't bring their Bible because they don't deal with that. It's more of a come together, we're going to sing, and the guy's going to give a little talk, but it's not like opening the scripture and teaching it, so nobody brings their Bibles. And that's what happens a lot of times. I told you, I went I went to a huge church in Dallas when I, this is a long time ago, when I was at Dallas Seminary my first year, and it was a thing for a class. They told us, you need to go to this kind of church. You know, you went to different things so you could see how people did different ministries. And I remember I got up and I had my Bible and I drove downtown and I got out and I walked in, and as I was walking in, I realized the truth was I was the only person there that had a Bible. I was the only person there that had a Bible. And to be honest, I know why. Because the guy gave a good story. But it had nothing to do with Scripture. And so that's what happened. So number three, should we have a time of celebrating growth? Talk about it for a second. Has the bell rung? Is that the first one? That was the second one? We've already had the second one? Okay, should we have a what could we do? What should we do? Or should we do anything as Christians? Huh? What sounds good? That's why I'm saying, okay, should we have a time to celebrate? You say, yeah. Okay, what should we do? What would be good? What would be some things? Well, have any of y'all done any things in your family with your children that you said, this is something that kind of marks it out? See, a bar mitzvah for a Jewish guy marks him out as sort of saying, you're a man, you can read the Scripture, you can be part of this, you make up the number, you're supposed to live right, you're supposed to come under the Bible. That's what it was supposed to be for. What do you think? Hazel? Well, baptism is the moment, is basically your salvation, not your.
But it's a celebration.
Yeah, that could happen. That happens immediately after salvation. It's supposed to be. I'm not tying in baptism with this. I think I'm looking at this as something separate. But I see what you're saying, because a baptism is a great celebration because you're celebrating the fact that this person has come to know Christ as Savior. So you're exactly right.
Are you talking about our church?
No, I'm just talking about anybody. I mean, as Christians, should we at age 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, whatever, have a time in which we say, son, you know, you've reached a point in your life where you really need to stand for Christ, and you know Christ is Savior. You've been in church, you've done it. I mean, should we? I know a guy that took his son when they became 13, took him on a camping thing for a week, and you know, basically that was the time he set him apart and said, "Son, you're going to be a man now, and you got to know the Scripture, and you got to keep growing, and you got to remember you're going into high school, and junior high, and all this stuff. You want, and so he did something special by taking him on a trip. I mean, should there be something like that? I mean, Jewish people have something like that. What about us? What do you think? Okay, but how would we do that? You said we need to let them know. Would there be? What would you do? Or what, did y'all do anything unique? Right. But there's a difference between an 8-year-old and a 15-year-old, I think. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get at, because the Jewish mind would say, when you're a man at 13, you're not a boy anymore. And so I'm just asking, what do y'all think? Yes. I think that's great. I don't know if y'all could hear her, but she said it might correspond to when our kids grow up and get ready to go off to college. Up to this point, they've come to church because you brought them to church, or you've told them you're going to church and this. And suddenly, if they go off to college, they're really more on their own, and they're going to have to make decisions on where they're going. That's why I get so excited. I don't know about y'all. I get so excited on Sunday morning. Now, it's spring break, so none of the college kids are here. But when that second service is coming, and there's 400 to 500 college kids walking in this door, nobody's making them come. You know, don't y'all get excited about that? I mean, that's amazing. So maybe going off to college, maybe giving them their driver's license. Who knows? Or getting that, and who knows? Okay, I know time's up, but we'll think about it, because we're going to talk a little bit more next week on some of this stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for the picture that we see, first of all, just in the Jewish culture of a person coming responsible, in a sense, to growing up and to live by the Scripture and do all those things. And Lord, we think about us, and we know that our children come to know Christ, and we hope they do as early as possible. And then maybe there is a time in which we remind them of who they are and what they're to do and how they can grow and to stand for Christ and those kind of things. Lord, just give us wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for your word and how perfect it is. and that we should know it and apply it. Thank you for Jesus and His death and resurrection, and He gives us eternal life as a gift. Thank you for these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.